Wednesday, I was like somebody who is a workaholic, basically. And the office is closed, and you're trying to figure out what's going on at the office because we didn't have service on Wednesday night. And so Wednesday night, I was up reading the word because this is what I do. And I don't read the word to preach, I read it to live. And as I was up reading the word, I closed my Bible, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about what he spoke to us in the beginning of the year. And he began to tell me, you got to prepare to win. And he said it so violently to me that it forced me to begin to remember what God spoke to us prophetically in the beginning of the year. And God said in the beginning of the year that the theme for this year for our church would be no weapon, just winning. Can you look at your neighbor who don't want to say it to you, but look at him anyway and say, no weapon, just winning? The reason that God said that is two parts. 2019 has been, if you will, a season of the weapon forming. If you're in this room and you have any type of spiritual discernment, there has been some weapons that have formed against you this year. You cannot sit here and act like you haven't had some weapons formed against your life this year, because some weapons have certainly formed. The forming of the weapon doesn't mean you're going to lose. The forming of the weapon means that God has confidence in what you can handle. And so he allows the weapons to form. And as the weapons form, he lets us know that the weapon does not prosper. And so this morning, I want to remind you of this, and I want to give you a prophetic sign of a narrative in scripture to help you understand what it's going to take to win. Because to win, you have to prepare yourself. You have to prepare your mind, you have to prepare your heart, and you have to prepare your spirit to win. If you do not do those things, then you can easily lose before you even get into the conflict. You can lose before you show up. You can talk yourself out of it. You can think yourself out of it. You can analyze it so much that you're paralyzed and don't move in obedience to the places that God called you to go because you're still thinking about it. You're still thinking about it, and then you start using your spiritual tools as excuses as to why you can't move. So you start saying things like, I'm trying to discern whether it is I should go thus or so. And you start saying things like, I wasn't led to go try this. Look at your neighbor and say, get the lead out. Get the lead out. The lead out. No, the fact of the matter is that you're scared. The fact of the matter is that fear has gripped your heart, and the possibility of losing has become so overwhelming that you rather hold on to what you have than lose. So this morning, we're going to get into that in just a little bit here, but I wanted to set the preface by saying that God spoke this to us in the beginning of the year, that there will be no weapon, it will be just winning. And what you have experienced so far is the prophetic slant of God, that when God says something to you, typically you first experience the opposite. You typically experience the opposite, or you experience something that doesn't look like, if you will, what God said. God told Habakkuk. Habakkuk was looking at all of this ridiculous foolishness that was going on, and God used Habakkuk the prophet to say, write down what you see. And then he told him that the vision, that word vision is revelation. He says the revelation is for an appointed time. In other words, I want you to write down what you see, but I want you to understand I'm going to reveal to you what I'm going to do. What you see is real, but what I'm going to do is also real. And so I want you to write down what you see, but I want you to understand that the revelation is for an appointed time. It's not going to come immediately, but it's going to come. And when it comes, it will not lie. It will speak in the end. And that's what God is trying to tell you and I this morning, that there are some things you thought were going to happen this year. There were some things you thought that was going to transpire. And when they did not, you got bent out of shape and you got upset and you got discouraged and you got frustrated. Come on, somebody. And when all of that took place, you said, God, where are you? What are you going to do? And God sent me to tell you this morning, it's not going to lie. It's going to do everything that I said it was going to do. But you got to prepare to win. You got to prepare to win. So I want to take you to two passages of scripture this morning. As we do, I want you to stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, because y'all sitting down like you don't know what's going on right now. Come on. Yes, I messed up the service. Yes, I moved everything around. And yes, I'm going to preach and go home and watch the Ravens beat the San Francisco 49ers. Since, you know, I'm not playing around with it no more. In 2020, some things are going to change. Some things are going to change in our church. Some things are going to change in the way we do things. And we have to stop being late for what God wants for our life. I'm going to say that again because y'all just missed it. You have to stop being late for what God wants for your life. y'all not here with me. If I said that it was $1 million here for you, I bet you'd been on time. You've been here 2 hours early. You want to make sure that y'all don't want to talk about that. But having a word is like having $1 million. It's based on how you value it. Okay, I can't get it. Okay, so I want to take two passages of scripture. And of course, I want to start in Isaiah, if you will. And I want to start in Isaiah 54:17, because I want to bring you back to the remembrance. Things we quote, but I want you to be sober in this moment and take in what God is saying to you about this word. Because this word right here is the substratum of God's strategy. In other words, it is the underbelly of all that God is trying to accomplish in your life. The reason why this word is so powerful is because of the preceding scriptures. For the sake of time, even though I got a lot of it, but for the sake of time, I want you to understand that before God says this through Isaiah, he says, the reason why the weapon won't prosper is because I'm the one that made the capacity for the weapon to form. In other words, whatever weapon forms, however it forms, and whatever it forms with, I made it. In other words, I didn't make them attack you. I just, whatever they're attacking you with, I made it. You don't hear what I'm saying. So God is saying that I made the weapon itself, whatever forms, I made it. That's how I know it can't prosper. Okay, y'all are not in here with me. So when you dive into Isaiah 54:17, it says this: No weapon formed against you can prosper. And then it says, and every tongue, this is where we miss it, every tongue, including yours. Every tongue that rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn, including yours. Oh, y'all don't hear me. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I'm doing all of this because it's of me, saith the Lord. So their right standing is of me, saith the Lord. And the only reason they're in right standing, and the only reason that they have the heritage or the inheritance of being able to condemn every word spoken against them, is because it's of me. This is what God wants for your life. Speaking of Israel, Now I want to take you, as I set this as a backdrop, I want to take you to the book of Daniel. I want to take you to the book of Daniel. And the reason I'm taking you to Daniel is because I want to show you how to win. And I want to preach to you about no weapon, just winning. Daniel, the third chapter. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Daniel 3, I'm condensing it for time's sake. And I promise to put it all in context. But Daniel 3 says this: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said this to the king: O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. He goes on to say, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of the hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, come on, KLC. But if not, this is a huge statement. He's able, he will, but if not. He's able, he will, but if not. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou has set up. But if not. Oh, man. But if not. But if not. I want to preach to you from this subject, no weapon, just winning. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for the word that you have placed in the preacher's heart to deliver to your people. God, caused them to understand that you get nothing out of preaching. What does it profit you to have somebody stand here and preach? Paul said that he's shocked that you would do this by the foolishness of preaching. So cause us to understand that it's not you getting something out of this, it's us. It's us. We're here this morning to get something that you have for us. And you're using the vehicle of preaching to do it. For us. You're trying to tell us something. And what you're trying to tell us is that we're going to win. And regardless of how things look, we're going to win. Father, don't let this fall on deaf ears. You woke me up in the middle of the night. You spoke to my spirit. You had me jot down these things. Let somebody pick this thing up and understand that they're going to win. Father, I thank you for what you're about to disrupt. I thank you for every demon that thought that they were going to get victory over our lives. I thank you for every critic and naysayer and hater and individuals that come in and poke holes in the boat, even though they try to think they're in your boat, but they're not, and thought that their malice and their intent was going to do something for harm. But what they did for harm, Father, you turned around and made it work out for our good. I thank you for that. I thank you that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. I thank you that it sinks down into the fiber of our spirits to let every individual know in this place that we are going to win. As you speak by your spirit, do it with power, God, and let nobody leave here the way they came, but let us all be changed. And we will give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take you right into the word of the Lord this morning, and I want to get your mind and heart ready. And I hope you're hearing me at a deeper level, and I hope you're not hearing my frustration. My frustration is coming from a place that is a righteous indignation. That righteous indignation is that how do we sleep on a God that is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent? How do we sleep on a God that we say is sovereign and yet don't accept his sovereign ways? How do we sleep on a God that we say and worship and praise and say he's the lover of our soul and he's the great I am, and that he makes ways out of no ways? And then when we find ourselves in a no way situation, all of a sudden we stop believing that he can make a way out of no way. How can we pray for miracles when we don't want the problems that are the prerequisite for the miracle? How do we say I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, but we don't go to church when it rains? How can we say all of these things about the God that we say we serve, and yet when trouble comes, somehow we have mental lapses and begin to think that the God that we just talked about is absent in our present situation and problem? And if God is omnipotent, if he is omniscient, if he is omnipresent, then he cannot be absent in the everyday affairs in my life. No, I got to buck up under this pressure a little bit, and I have to understand that pressure is a good thing. I have to realize that the hardship that I'm facing, whatever that might be, is going to produce something in my life that I could not produce on my own. So I'm going to add to my faith this thing called patience. And I'm going to add to my faith this thing called virtue. And when I add all of that to my faith, it's going to do something on the inside of me. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to buck up, baby. You got to buck up. You got to buck up. Because if you want to get to where God said you're going to go, and if you're going to win, there are going to be some things that opposes you. And you have to look at the opposition. It's not a bad thing, but a good thing. Come on, somebody. Why? Because the same thing opposing me is the same thing pushing me to my next dimension, to my next level. The very fact that you're pulling back on me or pulling against me is a prophetic indicator that I am about to go somewhere. If I had a bow and arrow in my hand right now and I pulled the bow back, it is a prophetic indicator that something is about to be launched. Oh God, you got to allow life to pull you back a little bit so that it can stretch you to the place to go further than you ever thought that you could possibly go. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, accept the stretch. This year you've been stretched. This year you've been pulled on. This year you've been talked about. This year you've been counted out. And I came to tell you, whoever counted you out can't count, because they didn't count on the fact that God was in your corner. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God is in my corner. Not only is God in your corner, there are some people that the Lord has assigned to your life that is also in your corner. And if you could get over yourself for just a second and realize you're not going to get there by yourself, but you need some other people to help you win, you will look at your neighbor and say, come on, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You ain't got to fight all by yourself. I can join my prayer with your prayer and my praise with your praise, because the Bible says that if any two or three of you would gather together in his name, that God would show up in the middle of it. I'm about to set it off right up in here. Oh, find somebody to act like they want to be in the house of the Lord and say, where's your praise and where's your prayer? What have you been praying about? What have you been praying about? What would happen if you start praising over what you've been praying about? Oh, I'm shaking something loose. Y'all, turn my microphone up. The reason why I'm shaking you loose like this, it's because you think you're alone. We lose because we feel alone. Oh God. We lose because we feel like nobody is in it with us. We come to church alone. We go to work alone. Alone doesn't mean you don't have people around you. Oh God, Lord have mercy. Alone means you feel like nobody's with you. You could be married alone. In business alone. And certainly in church alone. And when you feel alone, Lord have mercy, the enemy will take that feeling and allow you to feel abandoned because you feel alone. Ah, touch your neighbor and say, you got to flip that feeling. And you got to say, I'm not alone, I'm just in solitude. Oh, who am I talking to in here? I'm not alone. I'm just isolated so that God can get me right and get my heart together. And I'm really not alone. I know I got somebody for me. I understand I'm not alone. Touch your neighbor and say, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. I know you're not alone because the Bible says, if God be for you, oh, who am I talking to? Who can be a... You're not alone. But you've bought into the lie that you are. In Daniel, let me hurry up. In Daniel, we know the story, but we don't. We know Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. We got all that, right? And we understand that they didn't want to bow to Nebuchadnezzar. And we got the what. We got that Nebuchadnezzar decided to throw them into the fiery furnace because they would not bow to this statue. That's the what. We get it. And we're using the what to try to win. What will never help you win. But why will. So I'm not here to tell you the what. I'm here to tell you why. See, what, I would preach what, and I would talk to you about that Nebuchadnezzar had his men build him this statue that was 90 feet tall, made all of gold. But why? And then the what would be that his wise men got jealous over these foreigners, these Palestinian foreigners who were Jewish that were part of the exile but embraced in the Babylonian community because they were men of wisdom and they were part of the king's court and the soothsayers and the wise men of the king's court and that they did not want to worship when they heard the music because the Bible says that when Nebuchadnezzar issued the decree that everybody in his kingdom will worship when they hear the music, that these individuals did not want to bow. And it wasn't Daniel, it was just his boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it was his other wise men who were hating on them to the point where they were so jealous that they decided to dime them out that they weren't bowing to worship. And so the what is, Nebuchadnezzar says, bring them before me. I want to see it for myself. And he plays the music. And the what of it is that they're not going to bow to worship. But I'm not here to talk about the what. I'm here to talk about the why. Why would Nebuchadnezzar build a 90-foot statue made of gold? Why would he go through all of that trouble to have people to do that? And why in the world would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are now part of the Babylonian Empire, decide, I'm not bowing to that foolishness? Well, you have to go to the preceding chapter, the one that came before it, which is Daniel chapter 2. And in Daniel chapter 2, the king had a dream. The king had a dream that nobody could interpret. The reason nobody could interpret it is because nobody knew the dream. They didn't have the details. It's not like the king had a dream, like in Joseph's case, when Pharaoh had a dream about the sick cows and he went and told everybody, nobody could tell him what it meant. That's not the case. In this particular case, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that he didn't tell anybody the details of. It was just a nightmare that he couldn't speak about. And so he went to a soothsayer and said, I keep having this nightmare, but I don't know what it means. And he would not give them the details, and they could not interpret it. So Nebuchadnezzar got frustrated because he felt alone. Lord have mercy. And he told everybody, I'm going to kill you. When you feel alone, you try to rob other people of their destiny and of their skills and of their ability to help and assist you. And so the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar decided, I'm going to kill everybody. And so he sends out the captain of his army to kill everybody. And so the captain goes and he finds Daniel, because Daniel is a wise man, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is part of the group, and they're going to kill him. And the Bible says that Daniel says, why are we going to die? What is going on? What is happening? And the Bible says that the chief officer came and said, so tomorrow morning you're going to die, because nobody can interpret the king's dream. So you're going to die. And the Bible says that Daniel says, no, we're not. That's not going to go down. If you will give me tomorrow, then I'm going to have an answer. And so the Bible says he calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they go into prayer. And as they're going into prayer, they start asking God, what is the details of the dream that the king didn't tell anybody about? Because his wise men told the king that no man is able to interpret what it is is going on in your heart, and what you're asking for, no man can do. Oh, God. When Daniel found out, he says, yep, okay, I ain't got to worry about it. I need to go to God about it, because if I can go to God about it and start asking God what is going on, God is going to reveal the mystery to me, because that's the God that I serve. Look at your neighbor real quick one time and say, stop living alone. You got to start living like God is for you. And when there are things that you cannot figure out, you got to go into your prayer closet. Come on, somebody. And you got to start talking to the Father like he knows what the answer is. Oh, I know I'm talking right, because this year, at some point, if you really want to be honest, you forgot that God hears and answers prayer. I'm going to take you a step further. Not only does God hear and answer prayer, my Bible says he hears and answers complaints. The children of Israel, why y'all looking at me like I'm crazy? The children of Israel, if you were complaining that the manna that God was providing for them wasn't enough, and they were tired of it. It was a complaint. Y'all ain't said nothing. And Moses goes back and says, God, they complained about the manna, even though it sustained them. And God says, no problem. I'll give them chicken. I'll give them quail off of a complaint. And if God will answer his children off of a complaint, God, what will he do off of a prayer? The reason why I don't want to complain, even though he will answer, y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. Habakkuk complained to God about the situation, and God gave him a revelation of what he was going to do. It wasn't a Habakkuk's prayer, it was Habakkuk's complaint. And if God will answer me on a complaint, that's great. But I don't want God to answer me from my complaint. I want God to answer me from my prayer. Why? Because complaining won't give me peace. But prayer will. Complaining is not going to do anything but frustrate me, and won't give me enough peace to wait for what God is going to do. So I'll be panicking while I'm waiting off of my complaint. But when I prayed about it, Lord have mercy, the peace of God that transcends all understanding guards my heart and my... Touch your name and say, you got to start praying about it, man. And when you're praying about it, you have to pray according to his will and stop praying with panic as if God is not able. Daniel goes to God in prayer, and as he goes to God in prayer, the Bible says that he begins to get the answer. And as he begins to get the answer, Lord have mercy, he begins to praise God. He doesn't know the outcome, but he begins to praise God. He doesn't know what the result is going to be, but he begins to praise God. He doesn't know if he's going to die tomorrow, but he begins to praise God. He know he has to answer, but he doesn't know if he's going to get the chance to even tell the king. Y'all ain't said nothing. And he begins to praise God. And in his praise, he says, God, you set up kings and you remove kings. Y'all ain't in here with me. You dispose kings. You put them down and you bring them back up. That's the type of God you are. And he was so excited that God would give him the answer that he would begin to praise God over the answer without knowing the outcome. When you pray to God and the peace of God comes over your heart, you got to start praising God that you know you got the answer, even though if you don't see the outcome, because the outcome doesn't matter. Come on, Holy Ghost. And so the Bible says that he gets an audience with the king. And when he gets an audience with the king, he tells the king what his dreams mean. Daniel has the details. Oh, God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are with him. They have the answer. Oh, God. Because they had the anointing. And they had the ability to go in to the chambers of the Most High God and get an answer from God. And with the anointing that they had, to be able to walk back to the chief officer and say, I got an answer. Let me see the king. If you are going to accomplish anything in this next decade, you got to have the audacity, based on the anointing you know you carry, to say, let me see the king. You got to have the audacity, Lord have mercy, to say, I'm going to take a risk with my life because I know I got the answer. Let me see the king. You got to have the knowledge that you got it down on the inside of you and stop questioning if you got it. Touch three people and say, I know I got it. I know I got it. I know I got it because I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. They go and they go to the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is with him. Here's why. Because the dream that the king is having is to let him know he ain't God. It's to let him know that kingdoms rise and fall. You're on top now, but you might not be on top later. And Daniel goes in and tells the king, oh, great king, God has showed you. He's allowed you to see his strategy. The why of it is that Nebuchadnezzar is seeing God's strategy. God is so confident in his strategy that he'll share it with people that's not on his team. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I just said. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. Y'all didn't hear what I said. Because to him, everybody is on his team. The opposition is on his team because he knows that the opposition is helping him win. You start running when you get opposed. God starts getting happy when he gets opposed. You got to understand that Nebuchadnezzar is doing what God wants done. He has built the kingdom and he has destroyed Jerusalem. This is the king that destroyed Jerusalem, tore down the temple of Solomon and captured God's people, and God's talking to him. You be still in here talking about him. God's talking to him. Why? Because God's letting him know you ain't win. Nebuchadnezzar thought he won. And God showed him in a dream, you ain't win. There's another kingdom coming behind you. And there's another kingdom coming behind it. And there's another kingdom after that. But when it's all said and done, I'm going to set up my kingdom. Oh! And my kingdom is going to rule forever. That was his dream. And in his dream, he saw this statue, oh Lord have mercy, this statue made of iron and made of brass. Oh God, and made of gold. And he saw the mixture of clay and the iron. Oh God, why? To let him know at the feet of the whole thing, it's iron, but it's also mixed with clay, meaning it's not stable enough to last forever. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. And so, Nebuchadnezzar, I want to show you my strategy, and I want to show you that at the end of it all, you're not going to win. The Babylonians are not going to win. The Persians are not going to win. Greece is not going to win. Rome is not going to win. But the kingdom of God shall stand forever. And I have such a strategy that will last over eternity that it doesn't matter which king gets up and which king goes down. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of. God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know, you ain't win Turkey. And I'm going to show you, you ain't going to win. And so he has this nightmare about this statue, Lord have mercy, that nobody could understand except Daniel, because Daniel went and got it from God. And when Nebuchadnezzar heard it, Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, my Lord, your God is a good God. And the next chapter, the one we're in, Nebuchadnezzar builds a statue. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar is now saying, wait a second. What you mean I ain't gonna win? You want to show me a statue? I'll show you a statue. This is a fight between a king and a king. This is deeper than just some fiery furnace. This is about an eternal strategy that's going to get victory regardless of who stands in its way. So Nebuchadnezzar got in his mind, I'm going to build me a statue of gold. And I'm going to flip the script and I'm going to make everybody worship it because I'm going to win. And God is saying to him, go ahead. Because I always got somebody who has the audacity to worship me when everybody else is worshiping something else. Oh, I wish I had somebody in here. You're gonna have to have the audacity in the next decade to worship God when everybody else is worshiping something else. Will you still lift up holy hands when it's not popular? Oh, y'all ain't said nothing. Will you still give God glory when it ain't in vogue to do so? This is deeper than the Sunday school story that we think it's about. This is God showing us how to win. And this is God showing us that when we win, he always compensates us for our faith. So if you don't have the audacity, then you won't have the authenticity. Authenticity is the price of winning. Authenticity is you saying, I'm confident in who I am, and I refuse to be a copy of somebody else because I know how God created me. When you're in church and you're looking at somebody that's doing the most, you will consider doing the most, and you're going, they don't have to be that loud. You don't have to do all that. They're being authentic. They're being authentic, and perhaps you are not being real. Because perhaps maybe there's something in you that when the word hits you, it speaks to you in value, and you sit there and act like ain't nothing happened. So you miss the deposit because you're so busy trying to please everybody around you. But I don't know about you, but when the word comes into my life and it hits me, I don't care who's next to me. That was for me. When you get answers, you can't be fickle about praising God over the answer. I understand you want to be reserved. I get it. It's all fine. I understand that. You want to look cute. You got your suit on. You want to look nice. Don't want nobody talking. I get it. But to win, you got to get ugly sometimes. Al Davis, the former owner of the Raiders, had this motto, just win, baby. I don't care how it looks. I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care how ugly it is. At the end of the day, there are two columns, win column and loss column. Y'all ain't said nothing. I just need you to win. Praising sometimes, I don't know why I'm on it, but I think I know prophetically, but praising sometimes is winning ugly. Because when you have authenticity, you know that things may appear one way, but regardless of how things appear, God is still in control. This is why praise becomes so powerful and the thing that the enemy hates. Because it suggests that God has everything under his sovereign hand. Even though all hell is breaking loose, I'm still talking about who he is. Even though my life doesn't reflect some of his attributes, I'm still going to give him glory. And this confuses the enemy. Why are you praising when you're down? Why are you praising when you're in debt? Why are you praising when you got the report that you got cancer? Why are you praising when your son just got locked up? Why are you praising when you don't have the financial means? My God, why are you giving God glory? Why? It confuses the enemy. It confuses him because he doesn't know, he doesn't understand this part. And the reason he doesn't understand it is because he was built with praise on the inside. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. He was built with praise on the inside. It is natural to him. He doesn't have to adapt to praise. He can just do it because he was built to do it. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. And what bothers him the most is that we were built to do it, and we were built to do it through our lives. We didn't have to have pipes coming up out of us. All God gave us was one vocal box. Y'all ain't said nothing. And it was enough for him to show up if we would just open. So I don't have all of his tools, but I got a voice. And as long, it confuses him because I don't have all of his makeup of all of his tools, and I get a better outcome. When he, oh God, I'm preaching better, y'all shout. So when he would praise God, the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel that when Lucifer would praise the Lord, he would stoke the coals of fire. Oh, I'm preaching better, y'all shout. He would create this energy, and then God would come and move in the energy. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Y'all not in here with me. In other words, when he would praise God, God would show up and he would do some work on the inside. But when we praise God, God shows up and then in habits. He lives in the praise. He doesn't leave. He doesn't just show up once. He steps into the whole thing and says, who's talking about me? Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You still looking at me like I'm crazy. If you had any sense, you would say hallelujah. So, authenticity. Can you win being you? Can you win being you? Do you have the willingness to pay the price to be you? The reason that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gets pulled into the mix is because they're authentic. And God wanted to show Nebuchadnezzar that not only are my children authentic, so am I. Authentic means it's real. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's real. I have a friend, he loves Rolex watches, like he has an affinity for them. I'm not a Rolex guy, I'm not a jewelry guy at all. Just, you know, all the jewelry I got, my wife or family bought for me. I just, what it is. And so he's a jewelry guy and he loves Rolexes, and we used to work together. And every day this joker had on a different one. He had a job, he made good money. Stop hating on people, they had a good money. What's wrong with you? And every day he had a different one. He had one for every day of the week. I'm not lying. And so, when I interviewed with the guy, because he was my boss, he became my boss. When I interviewed him the first time, you know, he was sitting there, and he was going like this the whole time. The whole interview, he's just like this. And he's talking like this. And I'm like, what's wrong with your hand, man? I said, I see your watch. I see it. You can put it down. I get it. I understand. And so one day some guy came in with some Rolexes. And all the guys was like, oh man, let me see that. And then he laid them out all on the table. And he's selling these Rolexes for some crazy price or something. And he comes in like these real, and he's got the authentic registration and everything, and with the serial number on there. And he's got it all. He's in there. He's like, yeah, he's taking it out of the stuff and out of the nice boxes, and you know, and he's unfolding everything. He lays it out on the table, and he's showing all the oyster ones and the platinum ones and this, that, and the other. And he's doing it. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm going, hold on for a few seconds. And my friend is about to buy one. I said, don't do that yet. He said, why, man, this can't pass up on this deal. I said, hold on for a second. Hey, can I see one of those? He says, yeah, man. I said, I'll be right back. He said, where you going? I said, I'm just going right here. He says, where? I said, I'm going to somebody who know what real and fake is. So I walked into his office. I said, hey, man, is this real? He took one look at it. He said, oh, that's fake. He didn't flip it over. He didn't look for the serial number. He didn't do none of that stuff. He said, no, that's fake. I said, oh, okay. And I took it back. And I said, hey, man, that's fake. He said, no, it ain't. I said, it's fake. He said, no, it ain't. I said, well, I'm telling y'all, man, y'all buy it. It's fake. Don't do it. Right? And I walked away. So none of them bought it. Right? God was hot, upset. Later on that day, they was like, man, how'd you know it's fake? I said, I went and asked so-and-so, and he said it was fake. So we all go in his office, about five of us, we all go in his office, and we all walk in there. I said, how did you know it was fake? He says, when it's real, it don't stop. Come on. See, a real Rolex is perpetual. It doesn't tick like that. Y'all ain't said nothing. It doesn't stop. He said, I didn't need to see the serial number. I didn't need to see any of those things. He said, I could tell by the weight, and I can tell that it wasn't perpetual. If it's not perpetual, it doesn't work. Perpetual means it only works if you wear it. Y'all are not in here with me. Perpetual means it only works if you wear it. In other words, it will not be perpetual if it's not on something. Lord, have mercy. God has given you a perpetual covenant that's real, but it only works if you wear it. And you're looking at what God has for you, but you got to put it on. You got to put it on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put it on. And when they put it on, that what they put on was tested. If you're going to wear what God has for your life and you're going to win in your authenticity, clothed in your authenticity, then you got to have to put it on. And when you put it on, it's going to be tested. It cannot be authentic unless it's tested. Your marriage cannot be real unless it's tested. Your business cannot succeed unless it's tested. If I can talk you out of your idea, you ain't ready. Y'all ain't said nothing. Because you're not going to pass any tests. If you stop because one person said you can't do it, you ain't going to make it. If you look at it and say, oh, well, I guess I got it wrong, it ain't going to do it. You ain't going to win. You got to win knowing that regardless of whatever other person's opinion is, down on the inside of your spirit, you got to know this is real, this is what God showed me, and I'm going after it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is proving to Nebuchadnezzar authenticity. Because, watch me now, Babylonian worship is polytheistic in its nature, many gods. And Ishtar is the god of fire, which is a high-ranking god. No, Lord have mercy. And so he decides to buy, to build this statue of gold, Lord have mercy, and to get people to worship a statue. The God is not the statue, but it is a copy of what the God is. So he wanted people to worship the copy. And God was trying to show him, no, you can't win being fake. You have to be authentic. Don't tweet it if you ain't shout amen. Don't tweet it if you didn't shout amen. Don't post it, don't tweet it, because you ain't say nothing when I said it. Don't do it. Quickly now, they call for the three Hebrew boys. And the three Hebrew boys, Lord have mercy, comes into the king's court with the audacity to say we are authentic. Yeah. Because they realize to win is not always how anointed you are. It's how authentic you are. I already know I'm anointed. But am I authentic? Because the two are not synonymous. Oh, Lord. They come in with the audacity to be authentic. Risky proposition. And the king plays the music and they don't worship. And he says to them, oh, throw them in the furnace. Before they throw them in the furnace, the three Hebrew boys have a conversation with the king. And they say these words to the king. King, I know, oh my God, that God is able. What is this about them? They understand that their biggest resource to win is their faith. Your greatest resource to win is your faith. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And your faith is not about how you believe. Your faith is what you believe. That's why the Bible says have faith in God. I might not believe in all I can do, but I certainly believe in what he can do. So their faith was in God. And they said, our God is able to deliver us. Come on, I'm closing this thing out. Our God is able to deliver us. He will deliver us. But here's what messed me up. But if not. If you gotta win, you gotta have a but if not clause in the contract of your future that God, I know you're able. I know you will. But if not. I'm still going to give you glory. I'm still going to lift up your name. I'm still going to be authentic. I'm still not going to compromise. I'm still going to be what you created me to be. Slap your name and say, but if not, 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 I don't need no help. But if not, why? Because that but if not speaks to acceptance. If you're going to win, you got to accept it. What am I accepting? I got to accept God's sovereignty. I got to accept winning God's way. Y'all don't in here. I got to accept. I'm going to win, but I got to win God's way. Oh, come on, somebody. See, everybody in here want to win, but you don't want to win God's way. Because God's way might not be advantageous to you. Because sometimes God doesn't deliver us out. But he delivers us in. So getting out is not always the best strategy. I lost half the room. That's why I want no music. Because I don't want you emotional. I want you sober. I don't need to church you. I'm trying to change you. If you're going to win, you ain't even got to sit down. If you're going to win, you got to accept God's sovereignty. But if not, is acceptance. That God, I don't care if you do it, how you do it, or when you do it. I accept the fact that you need me in it right now. And if you want me to be in it, I trust you enough that if I get thrown in this fiery furnace. Listen to what they said, because we miss it. But if not. What? What? But if not? Are you serious? But if not, be it known to you, O King. I still ain't gonna worship your fake thing when I got the real thing. Oh, God, I wish I had somebody. But if not, and we know the story. We know the story because they understand that if I accept it, then I have to trust whatever the outcome is going to be. And so the Bible says that as they step into this thing, they're thrown in this fire, and the fire is the hottest thing. I could speak about the furnace, don't have to talk about that. But all of the wise men are there, the king's court, the people who worship Ishtar and the god of fire, they're all there. All of the people who are upset that these men are worshiping this invisible god, this god that has no statue, this god that has no representation of itself to them. Stay with me, because the God that we serve doesn't need a statue when he has you. Come on, KLC. He doesn't need a statue when he has you. You are his representative in the world. You're the real deal. You're authentic. Not the fake you, the real you. The struggling you, the crying you, the hurting you, the worried you, the fearful you. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. That's what God wants. But you're so busy trying to be somebody else. You're so busy up in here acting like you got it all together. Well, I had just a wonderful Thanksgiving and everybody came over and we just had a delightful time. And then, you know, you cussed them out. You know, you couldn't wait for them to leave. You know, oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. You know that your life is hard just like everybody else's. And the reason we can't win is because we're not authentic. Because when the world sees us, they see fake. It's fake because it's not perpetual. You only wear it on Sundays. You only wear your praise when they put your song on. How real can I be with y'all right now? No, I don't know. I don't know. There's maybe a couple of y'all I can be real with. See, I wear my praise when I get it right, and I wear my praise when I get it wrong. See, I'm going to trust the Lord when I get it right, and I'm going to trust the Lord when I get it wrong. Oh, y'all don't want to be real. Y'all don't want to be real. No, you don't want to be real. I don't care how far I slip. I ain't going but so far because I'm never allowing the Lord not to be in my life. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. Devil, you can do whatever you want to do. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall come. Do I got any I will bless the Lord people up in here that'll do it at all times? When I'm sick, when I'm mad, when I'm frustrated, when I'm bent out of shape, So they throw them in the fire. And these boys that are thrown in the fire, the men that throw them in the fire are burnt up and they're thrown in the fire. And when they get in the fire, nothing's happening. These fools are dancing in the fire. These fools are giving God glory in the fire. They're not dancing because it's hot. They're dancing because it don't hurt. Oh, God. You got to let the enemy know it might be hot, but it don't hurt. Oh, God. You got to give God glory and say it's hot, but it don't hurt. It ain't doing what you wanted it to do. So I'm going to give God glory right up in it. I feel something breaking up in here right now. My God, I dare you, give God a shout of praise. Woo, God, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I feel this thing up in here. Listen. Their fight was the fire. Their fight was the fire. That fire was a representative of a spiritual battle. The men who was watching them supposedly watched them burn, worship the God of fire. And they're dancing in the fire. Yes. Because they're telling them, we got the real thing. Yes. So to win, you have to be willing to go through the fire and accept that God controls the flames. Yes. And I would be okay if the Lord just had them go through the fire and nothing happened to them. That would be a wonderful story in and of itself. But that's not the story. The story is that Nebuchadnezzar looks up and looks inside and says, wait a second. Didn't we throw three of these jokers in there? Oh, come on, somebody. Stay with me because I'm about to give it to you. Stay with me. Didn't we throw three of them up in there? And he says, I see four. Oh, y'all don't get the revelation. The night before, there were four men praying. Oh, God, I feel a note. The night before, there were four men praying about an answer that the king had. And the night before, those four men was going to die. But the next day they get an answer. And then the next day, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They're thrown in the fire. And the three men are thrown in the fire. And the king looks in and says, wait a second. Didn't I throw three in? Oh, why is there four? And that would have been enough. That would have been a powerful story, but that's not the story. The story is he not only sees the fourth man, but he describes the fourth man. He says the fourth one looks like the Son of God. How would he know what the Son of God looked like? He saw him in the dream he had. Lord, have mercy. And he told him, I'm here. In real time. To let you know you ain't gonna win. How does a heathen king, heathen meaning that it's not a God, a Hebrew worshiping individual. How does this king who worships a different God know in description what the Son of God looks like? He saw him in his dream. He just didn't know who he was. So the only way to find out who he was through the three Hebrew boys. The reason God wants you to win is because he wants somebody to find out who he is through you. Oh, if I had a church, I would preach it out to you. Slap three people a high five and say, you can't lose. You can't lose. can't lose. You can't lose. Because losing is winning. He comes out of the fire. We know the story. They turn down the flames. Jesus does not come out of the fire. He stays in. Only the Hebrew boys comes out. Everybody saw you go in it. So everybody's going to see you come out of it. That's a word for somebody, I don't know who. Can you accept God's sovereignty? There's a few things I want to touch on, and then I want to pray for a couple people, and then we can go home. Can you accept God's way of winning? Don't lose me. See, give is God's way of winning. You see it as losing. I used to too. I was the other day saying, God, come on now. I done gave, I done sown, I done did this, I done did. I was going over my resume of giving. You ever did that? God, I obeyed you. I trust you. I did it. Calm down. I'm not taking an offering for everybody that thinks I'm about to. Relax. I'm trying to break your mindsets. I'm trying to let the devil know that you lost. And I was going over all of this with God, and I was going to, and he stopped me. He said, stop talking. I said, okay. He says, let me talk. And he began to remind me that it is not possible. It is not possible for us to beat him in giving. The air that I breathe is his. The fact that I could go like this is his doing. The hand that I have, he gave it to me. The tongue, the lips, these ridiculous eyebrows, these long eyelashes, he gave that to me. He gave me life. How could I beat him in giving? It's not possible. So I stopped complaining and I started praying. And I started praying based on purpose and vision. And as I was praying, communicating with God, I started prophesying. I'm going to win. And I believe in this room right now, somebody needs to tell themselves, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Don't just say it because I asked you to say it. You got to say it because you believe you're going to lose. I told you your greatest resource is your faith. But it is also your greatest problem. Faith is a blessing and a curse. Because faith only operates based on what it believes in, not how it believes. You're conflating the how with the why. Have faith in God. If you say to this mountain, based on having faith in God, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, have no doubt in your heart. So your problem is belief. Why take the field of life
if you think you're going to lose. And I came to disrupt a mindset, disrupt an attack, because no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I got about 5 minutes to do this. And the reason I say 5 minutes, because it's got to be quick. Because here's what I learned. When God wants to do something, when he says, oh, I'll do a quick work, it doesn't mean that, you know, all of a sudden, like, you know, he's saying that I will give you a moment to move. I will give you a moment to be obedient. I will give you a moment to get what you need. That woman that was that had the issue of blood for 12 years, I'm not calling an offering, so I see people reaching for their purses. Don't, I mean, if you want to give, give. Do whatever God told you to do. But I'm not calling an offering because I'm going to win. No, I'm telling you, I don't care if the camera's on, I'm going to win. I know the vision that God gave me. I'm going to win. And if God's got to send strangers, if he's got to do it another way, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I know the level of ministry I'm capable of doing, and I'm going to win. I'm going to see that vision unfold. I'm going to win. So it's all good, baby. I just, you know, talk about me, hate on me, I don't care. I'm going to win. Matter of fact, talk about me. Put it all on social media. It's free PR. Go ahead. So everybody can come see me win. I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. You gotta have that level of audacity for life. I'm going to win. So quickly, I want to do this quickly. I want to do this quickly, and I need you to move. Where's my sister? Trina, come here. I don't want you to come sing. I want you to come get healed. I'm telling you that this is a moment. This is a moment that God has given you. This is a moment for you. And if it speaks to you, you got to move. You cannot hesitate. You cannot delay. And you got to come with faith, believing, and know that God is about to do something in your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Did I talk to anybody today? I don't know if I did or if I didn't. I'm not. Listen. Don't come if it's not relevant to you. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Because I want to maximize our time. Don't come if it's not relevant to you. Don't come if it's not relevant to you. I want to pray for some of you. I want to do it. I need y'all to give me a different tempo. And I just want to say it once, just give me a different tempo. I don't care what that tempo is, but not that. Thank you very much. And here's what the Lord said to me this morning. I was tired and I was frustrated. So I woke up this morning, and normally I don't share all this with you, but I feel the need to. I said, God, you know, folk are going to be tripping. It's raining. It's Maryland. People ain't going to come to church. And then I came out and saw the lowest attendance I've had in 15 years. That crowd looked like my beginning. And then I got happy. I'm not, it ain't got nothing to do with you. It's got anything to do with me. Then I got happy. I got happy. Because it's a beginning. You don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. The enemy will fight your expectations. Stop playing. The enemy will fight your expectations to the point where you'll start believing what you see. Come on, church. You'll start believing what you see. And when you start believing what you see, faith is out. We walk by faith, not by sight. The moment you buy into what you see, you're going to lose. So regardless of how things appear, Lord have mercy,
regardless of how they look. You got to know that God is still in control of it all. And you got to look at it, Lord have mercy, with different eyes. You got to look at it and say, what is God doing with this? How am I going to win? And you got to start thinking, well, it's about to be a comeback story. It's about to be some glory. It's about to be, come up here, hon. It's about to bring up here. It's about to be a comeback story. It's about to be some glory. I don't know what's going to happen, but obviously God wants me in this thing. And while I'm in the thing, I got to realize I'm not dying in the thing, but I'm in the thing, but I ain't dead yet. Y'all ain't said nothing. And as you realize that and as you understand that, then your whole mindset changes and it flips. And you understand that God is a compensating God. That's why I said to you, no weapon, just winning. So prophetically, I want to declare to you right now that 2019 was about you and the weapon that formed. But 2020 is going to be about the winning. And because you didn't give in to the weapon, God said, now I know you're authentic. Now I know you're real. Now I know you're right. Come on, lift those hands and say, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what it is. I don't care how it looks. You're going to win. I don't care if it's depression. I don't care if you've been diagnosed and you got to take medicine. You're going to win. I don't care if it's sugar diabetes. I don't care if it's high blood pressure. I don't care what it looks like. You're going to win. The reason I know you're going to win is because Jesus won over 2,000 years ago. He defeated death. He defeated sickness. Come on, somebody. That's how I know you're going to win. So thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. You're going to win. Come on, lift those hands and declare you're going to win. If you need a healing in your body, lift your hands right now. You're going to win. Father, I thank you for your healing power from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Touch every fiber of her being right now down to the sciatic nerve. I thank you for the Holy Ghost surgery that's taking place right now. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Come on, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Yeah, right there, right there, right there. Come on, worship the Lord.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, it will forever. God will praise your name. We'll praise your name.
Listen, listen. You're at this altar. It could be for salvation. It could be for healing. It could be for deliverance. It could be for a bunch of things. Whatever it is for, I want you to know you're going to win. Listen, but you got to fight. Step back, Michael. Listen to me. You got to fight. You got to fight. This year, in July, I preached on one of the greatest platforms in the world. And that message wasn't, I did my job, I had an assignment for the people, but it was as much about me and the devil as it was me on assignment for the people I was preaching to. Because in me, I wanted to use that platform to tell the devil, you lost. That was how I fight back. That you can try to stop me, you can attack me, you can talk about me, you can cause me to shrivel up into a corner to get me to quit. But there's a resiliency that God put down on the inside of me that says, I'm not going to lose. This is not about me. This is about you. And me coming past you to pray for you
does nothing if you don't fight. And what typically happens right now is that you fight me. I'm not fighting you this morning. Hear me. I'm not fighting you. I'm not fighting that thing. I want you to lift your hands and you let the enemy know you're lost. Listen to me. I don't care what you did. I don't care what it looks like. You got to tell the devil you lost. Yeah, I might have been drinking, but you're still lost. Yeah, I've been battling depression, but you're still lost. Oh, yeah. I fell out, but you're still lost. And I want you to embrace this moment with that attitude. I want you to embrace this moment with, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. If I got to go to AA, if I got to go, y'all ain't said it, if I got to go to therapy, if I, look ahead, whatever I got to do, I'm going to win. If I got to go take financial literacy classes, if I got to go back to school, whatever I got to do, I'm going to win. Stop sitting back and let life beat you upside the head. Stop letting the enemy do this to you. You are victorious. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Come on, lift those hands. Let's pray together. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person at this altar, every person represented. God, I thank you. I thank you that they're not just down here for some fake touch, and I'm not standing here to give them one. But Father, we came to be changed. We came to get wisdom, insight, healing, revelation, and knowledge, because the man of God said, we're going to win. The man of God said, no weapon, just winning. So Father, regardless of how we win, whether we have to be thrown in the fire, whether we have to be thrown in the jail, whether we have to be thrown in the pit, or whether we sit on the palace, whether we're at the bottom or the pinnacle, it doesn't matter, Father. We're going to win, because ultimately your purpose is going to be fulfilled through us. So, Father, we thank you. As a matter of fact, I've already won, because I'm still here. And the fact that I'm still here says I give you glory. So while my hands is lifted, I declare I'll forever praise your name. I'll forever give you glory. I'll forever lift you up. I'll forever exalt you. I'll forever extol you. I'll forever do it.
We'll praise your name. The name that has all power. That name that heals. Oh, yeah. Oh, say we'll forever.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll forever.
those hands. Lift your hands all over the church. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. God bless you. We love you. See you Wednesday.